Oh, and someone say something funny.
Something funny?
That was predictable.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Welcome to WTF at TFW. Even team, what do you think about Mussolini? Can he be the next Godwin? Are you behind me?
I'd say yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron.
I hear he's very good at tea.
Thank you. Thank you, Lupus.
Finish the cycle.
What are we talking about here?
Mussolini.
Oh, I wasn't a fan.
Thank you. Thank you, Omegas. And that's how I introduced the three people I'm podcasting with today. Wasn't that clever? Yeah. Oh.
You gotta mix it up.
We're here for some thrills and spills, folks. We're also gonna talk about Transformers today. Because Transformers has hit an unexpected news spike in this holiday season. That's what I said. To open us up... I'm just putting everything out awkward today. We are going to, for beginning of the podcast, open with a topic four of talking to Takara Tomy relocating manufacturing lines to Vietnam. Can you tell this is a warm-up topic?
Oh my god, you've obviously spent way too much time reading Chinese eBay auctions.
I have, because that's the big theory that's come out of this, is if the operations move to Vietnam, what's going to happen to the Chinese stolen toy syndicate? Most importantly, though, Takara Tomy says this is hoping to cut their costs due to the rising costs of labor in China and the CNY exchange rate. So by the end of next year, they're hoping to have 100% of their production lines in Vietnam. And I'm curious, do you guys think this will impact us in any way? Aaron?
I'm not really sure. I could see fewer... things leaking out, since that bit of culture may not be there in the factories yet. I don't think toy costs are going to come down. I think that any adjustments that have been made, if Hasbro does the same move, they'll keep their price point about the same, or maybe they'll drift the sizes up a little bit, but I don't think they're going to go down from the $12 or so MSRP, and quality could go either way.
Okay. Lupus, what do you think about the Vietnam connection?
I'm thinking that... actually, Big Bad Boombox and I were actually talking about this earlier today, and he did bring up a few points that I had to think about. They want to get this done before the end of, 2010?
Yes.
Anytime it comes to doing a big manufacturing change like this, if anyone's worked in manufacturing, it takes a long time to get all the bugs out. So we might be looking at a few hiccups along the way, but if they're forecasting a complete changeover by the end of the year, my guess is that they've already started and initiated the whole sequence that they're going through of allocating funds, allocating a place, training people, and things like that. They had to have started all this stuff earlier than this press release if they want to get up and get running. Otherwise... you know, we're looking at a lot of speed bumps.
Very good point.
Hadn't we seen something where they talked about it previously? Let me actually load up that news story. I thought that somebody had come in and said that, like, a year or two ago we had some...
had they mentioned it, maybe?
That they were talking about it, or they had shifted their... some other... lines over to Japan. I believe it was the as I'm like normal trying to drag stuff out. Nevermore had a story.
Oh, well, if Nevermore said it, I would actually be inclined to believe
that would add credence.
Yeah, with 40 some odd news credits, he's got it. Yeah, something from about a month ago and 2 years ago. Massive reduction in its production levels in China, decisions, excess amount of lead, and other things in China. I was distressed over safety issues of toys made there, rising labor costs in China, lack of labor power. where they're shifting things. So it looks like for the last couple of years they've been, maybe they shifted some of their die-cast stuff or some part of their production over there to get that started up.
Okay, yeah, zinc production and things like that.
Right.
That makes sense. Omegas, NOM! What do you say?
I'm happy that Robin Williams will be making our toys from now on. It'll be very fun. just had to get one reference in there. I'm really not sure here. On one hand, there's still a lot of... I want to say suspicion or doubt about Chinese-made toys between the whole lead paint and loose magnet or whatever it was that week that was killing kids over here.
Yeah, I mean, despite toys being made in China constantly, you know, before and after that. You know, lead paint.
Just now. I do find some irony that the one company shifting out of there, or at least the one toy company shifting out of there, was the one that didn't get into any trouble for any of that.
Yeah, and who was it that got in trouble? Was it Mattel?
Mattel.
It was Mattel.
Yeah, that was the Mattel, beginning, wasn't it? That was the beginning of blame Mattel for everything, and it's true.
Pretty much.
I'm waiting for a Maddie collector box, you see, so I'm... Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Let's make fun of them now. Sure.
Yeah, that is interesting to bring up, that there's nothing outside of, I guess, just saving money that drives this. And that's why I would kind of theorize that we're not really going to see prices drop, because that would probably kind of counteract the whole thing of moving to Vietnam to make more money. So I'm expecting, like it has been said, that maybe toy sizes will increase slightly, but the price points will probably stay where they are.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to keep money you already have.
You know, using my established knowledge of market share and my degree in business and all that, I'm spreading this over. Yeah, anyway. That was really a warm-up, I think, because now it's time. I'm pulling my sleeves up on my T-shirt. I'm cracking open my Coke Zero. Oh, yeah. We're getting into it. War for Cybertron. We got a piddling amount of info, but hey, that's an excuse to talk about it with you guys. So... Mm-hmm. Lupus, War for Cybertron, your thoughts.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yay.
Okay. That's nothing to be ashamed of.
I can't wait for it to come out. What we saw was pretty good, and the fact that Hasbro's actually looking at this very seriously, unlike what happened with the Armada, there wasn't that much of an actual saying from Hasbro, if I remember correctly, but we've got Aaron Archer saying, you know, doing a little blurb in the press release, so that seeing Aaron actually putting in something into the press release kind of put my mind at ease. I'll wait for it to come out.
Yeah,
see where it goes.
I think with Armada also it fell victim to the whole Unicron trilogy thing of the storytelling and the toy design, toy engineering, cartoon, everything being kind of disconnected. So this is also feeling indicative to me of the more proactive attitude that came about with Animated back... I hate saying back in the day, but it really was back in the day. It's like over a year ago, wasn't it? Yeah, it's exciting.
Like a decade in internet time.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that they're trying to drive it more towards fiction and a new story arcs, things like that, as opposed to just... rehash, collect these little icons, and go through a game.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that they want to put in a lot more story elements that a lot of other games seem to lack when they're just tied into other mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Be it a movie tie-in or something like that.
Omegas, your thoughts on the War for Cybertron?
It's difficult for me to judge at this point, although I am looking forward to the connectivity with the toy line, though it didn't really help out any of the 07 or 09 movie toys that were video game only.
Hey, we got Dirt Boss. That's something.
Come on.
Yeah, okay, it took him 2 years, but
And fine. He's a scout, but
And they got the wrong color until the repaint.
Spoons.
Stay on target.
Still waiting
on
those.
Target.
Still waiting on those boxes of spoons to arrive at Evangelist's house.
I have tons of spoons in my household. What do you think I eat my soup with?
A fork.
That is foolish Jacob Tutu nonsense.
Drink it straight out the bowl. Come on.
I like the story direction. I do like they're focusing a little bit more on Cybertron, apparently.
Mm-hmm. It is a war for Cybertron.
It is a war for Cybertron, but how often does the war actually take place there?
Indeed.
I, however, am never a fan of teaser trailers or early screenshots. I want gameplay footage, and I want first-hand opinions. Then and only then do I draw my opinion on the game itself.
But dude, didn't you see the FMV? I bet the whole game's like that.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Welcome to the Game Facts Podcast. Yeah.
No. Unless it's like Hideo Kojima, the FMV is never going to be like the game is.
Yeah, I'm like you, I am very much looking forward to some gameplay footage, but I kind of doubt we'll get that probably till late January at the earliest. That's my thoughts. I mean, granted, late January is what, like a month away?
Yeah.
Oh my god, how will we make it by then?
We'll wait for our HLJ boxes to arrive.
Oh, yeah.
But that's for another topic. Aaron, your thoughts on the war for Cybertron?
I don't know if anybody else did this, but if you go to their site, you can get three other things than just the trailer.
Indeed.
You have to do a weird twist the knob game thing, and you get like a split second of FMV of a Decepticon emblem on what looks like a tail fin, and then a couple of concept artwork pieces.
Oh, neat.
But nothing more terribly thrilling. My big thing is I want to know if the versions of the game are going to be similar across all the platforms, because it's 360, PS3, PC, Wii, and DS.
Here's my totally uneducated guess, but I'll be surprised if it doesn't turn out like this. 360 and PS3 get one. PC gets a busted version of the Xbox PlayStation 1, and the DS gets something that's either awesome or horrifying.
Yeah.
And I like how they just left the PSP out this time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and the Wii. The Wii will get like something that
the
looks
Wii
like
will
the
get something
in screenshots.
Yeah, it'll get something that's awkward to control and kind of fuzzy to look at.
But hey, you know, there's still the Wii and the DS versions are the ones I'm always the most interested in, because usually they're ones that are developed by a smaller developer and they have to like do something to shine. And in the case of 2007, hey, the guy's doing this one, Sean, in the DS game. Revenge of the Fallen, the guys who did the PSP game, did not shine. So I'm always interested in that kind of thing. Have you guys even watched? Have you actually seen footage of the PSP Revenge of the Fallen game? Because it's hilarious.
No.
It plays like a top-down shooter where you're stuck in robot mode, and I think you only transform when you do your full-screen nuke, where you turn into a vehicle and spin in place as the entire screen explodes, and then you turn back into
nice.
A robot.
That brings up the big point I always have about Transformer games, and that they never use the transformation right. I mean, it might as well be the run button in Super Mario most of the time.
2007
the DS
movie
used
game.
It better. The DS used it better. I'd still like to see combat situations where the vehicle's useful, though.
Dude, DS multiplayer. Seriously, ask Proto Man. I totally rammed that fool off of a rooftop or something. Proto Man, you post in the thread. You tell them all about what happened to Proto when he met Vange.
Where I was going with that before I got shanghaied was the fact I hope the PC's version is similar, since I now have a PC that's capable of playing relatively modern games without dying. That I'd like to do that, because I sold my Wii recently to my brother because he really wanted it and I wanted money, so a hard decision. But you know, I kind of want a PS3 because it's the combo Blu-ray player and everything, but I don't want to have to go out and get it to play this game.
Yeah, the PC version, it's probably going to be akin to the PS3 360 one. It's just a case of whether or not it is a solidly programmed port. Because usually, at least in my from what I recall, the PC version of a big console game that's not a first-person shooter can sometimes end up like a kind of rickety port that may have a few additional bugs.
Right.
But, you know, then
that's just what I'm crossing my fingers for, is that it comes out well. And
yeah, like we'd said, bugs. Apparently Hasbro's paying a bit more attention, so maybe there will be some more care put into the development of the cross-platform portings, as it were. War for Cybertron. I bet you that's going to be something we talk about constantly for the next couple months. Just when you thought it was over. Man, it's probably going to even need to have its own spoiler section once we start getting more FMV leaks and things.
Now, my question is this going to be related to the rumored new series that was in development?
That was everyone's question last week. It's really, you can't say, but it's so nice and thick to put your fingers into, this soup of information, that it could be, or it could be concurrent to it, but I do have something to throw in there from Aaron Archer's own words. Quote, "This remarkable video game helps us tell a critical event in Transformers lore that will be used as canon for future storylines in a way we could have only dreamed of a few minutes ago." Minutes? Years ago. I'm getting sidetracked there. Only a few minutes ago. We changed our minds right before this press conference. A few years ago. So, what he's saying, I think, is that future Transformers shows may reference at least parallel versions of the storyline in this game as the start of the war, capital T, capital W. So, I think that it might have a tie to the new show, maybe just in that this becomes the new war within, that like every continuity has in its past, with like different faces on the robots.
Different bodies.
Slightly, except they all look like War Within Prime when they're Prime. Anyway, moving along from the War for Cybertron, let's do our new picture picketations. Let's start off with you, Omegas Prime.
Oh, me this time. Jeez, we got nothing but new pictures this week.
That's true.
It's hard.
One of them is a topic, so don't pick it.
I know which one is a topic. I will not be picking it.
Excellent.
Okay, I don't think this is covered, but there's this huge gallery posted of the fan-produced Nova Prime.
Yes, we brought that up last week briefly, and it seems they did put up some follow-up posts on their blog about it. Basically a background history on how they worked on it. And there's a really neat image, actually, of the 3D schematics, if you go to their blog and check it out. It seems that they're saying that basically, yes, they referenced Don Figueroa's artwork, and yes, they referenced Dax Custom, and they've confirmed several times over that it's not going to be a mass release, but hey, maybe it'll be a put-it-together-yourself kit sometime if they want to, and they do maybe five, but there's a certain wording in there that I want to cite, but I'll let you guys continue first. Were you hoping it was going to come out?
So disappointing. All the beautiful things are always out of reach.
Yeah, well, okay, do you want me to say what they said? Because this, I think, really is the nail in the coffin. Okay. Quote, "Lastly, on mass production, we would gladly like to get this figure mass-produced by big companies like Takara or IDW or Hasbro. Our first option is to get in their endorsement, even if it's like what happens in Japan's Wonderfest. Limited endorsement for resin kits, etc. However, if it ends up as a long-drawn PR by the big boys, as to them, feasibility and commercialism comes first, and we use our limited time to discuss with a zero-end game, then we just continue as-is or have to see alternatives." So basically, they would only really want to mass-produce it if they got given the blessings and, I guess, the mass factories of the big companies like IDW. Which I thought was cute. and their thing about Wonderfest is,
well, you never know.
It could be a
paper craft toy. You never know.
They could do a paper version. It'd be fun. I know the HiQ would dig it, but it's a very odd thing they did there in referencing Wonderfest, because I think that they maybe didn't quite get their metaphor right, because I believe Wonderfest is quite literally, Takara Tomy says, hey, and okay, literally, hey, Jizai Toys, you are now allowed to sell something based on our IP for the 2 days of this convention. And Jizai goes like, cool, I am a single person, so I can produce maybe 10 of these unpainted and hope to sell them at the price I need to sell them at. So even if they did get that whole limited endorsement thing, I don't think it would turn out quite as well as perhaps some people would hope. I do think it would be cool because it would be released, you know, as a true garage kit, like released in, you know, various resin and perhaps plastic, maybe even metal pieces that you'd have to like hand file, hand drill, buy ball joints for, etc. I would love to give that kind of thing a try because it would be kind of like a custom where all the pieces have been made for you, but I don't know.
I'd be afraid of effing that thing up so bad.
Yeah,
that would be
spending
scary.
$100 and then going, oh, wait a second, I didn't get the right ball joint pack from wherever, and
dude,
now it's either spend $200 to get the right little nubby bit, or
it wouldn't be 100. Glued his shoulder upside down.
Something with this many parts would be easily, I think, 200. Even if it was disassembled and unpainted, just given, go and buy the schematic they posted of how many pieces are in just one component of this guy.
Oh yeah.
Like this thing would cost a lot of money, even if it was sent to you straight off of the factory presses, like on the frames. I mean, I think it would be cool still.
Would it be worth it?
Yeah, it would be, I think it would be worth, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous toy.
You know, I think that perhaps the way they worded things down there might give some people a bit more optimism than is realistic for this kind of situation. Because I don't know, that's why I always try to bring up the word garage kit, because garage kits, you know, the Fans Project and TFC and those guys have kind of spoiled you, a lot of you folks, on the idea of third-party stuff, because as I always will say, the one true garage kit will always be a big box of resin, maybe some plastic, and a list of where you can buy the joints. And then maybe they'll even throw in a drill bit and say, here, this is sized for the screws you're supposed to go out and buy. So I think it would be glorious, but
it sounds like it borders on a little bit of masochism, honestly.
Well, yeah, it's. I guess it depends on how you look at hardcore modeling, really, because that, like, hardcore modeling is, like, and there are some people who even prefer this. It's like, I want everything in the base materials, all the detail sculpting done, but hey, you can leave as much flash on as you want. I want to knife that stuff off myself.
Oh, my God. Like,
I want the finished product to be something that was born of my blood, sweat, and tears kind of thing.
I just got this mental flashback of that old Gundam model toy commercial with a jock standing there proudly over his like masterpiece Gundam.
Mine's a level
like,
five.
I build it. Level 5, 10 hours.
That was a wicked commercial. Oh my God. I forgot about that commercial.
Just like standing there like, I'm so badass because I put a toy together myself.
Yeah, well, I'm still interested to see where this goes, because I think this was a great thing, even if it doesn't come out, because this is proven Master Collectibles ability. Because before, as far as I know, all of their stuff were basically quote-unquote upgrade kits or conversion kits, many of which weren't overly inspiring to a lot of people. So this full scratch build of a truly intricate design, you know, using AutoCAD, definitely is a great addition to their resume, regardless of whether or not it comes out. So,
right.
The thing that I am afraid of seeing is, let's say they actually get released, and there's a fair amount of people that can actually afford it. I'm just seeing, if they're going to be in a huge box of just parts, I can just see DAC being inundated with like requests of people asking him to put it together.
I can see Dak making a pile of money as he goes, like, I will put that together for you for $50 kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd go like, you know what, Dak, do it, you know? Assemble it for 50, I'll pay you another 25 to give it a base coat. Just spray the pieces down for me, and I'll give you a little kiss on the cheek afterwards too, Dak. I hope you're listening, I'm serious.
Okay, you are... You are way too grateful.
I like me some DAC attack. Let's move along. Omegas, thank you for bringing that up. And Lupus, now is your time to shine.
Cool. Okay, so going through the Raticon section of our boards, I checked out the Transformers fan art 2D and came across, I think it's Jago, did this really, really awesome picture of Triptychon, or more specifically Triptychon's head. And he's done it in one of those, I want to say, comparison fun encyclopedia style, like, images that you would see in like a DK encyclopedia or dictionary.
Yeah.
And it's got huge, huge, like, two-scale picture of just Triptychon's head. What appears to be a very small version of Astro Train, and the poor disembodied head of Computron smoking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's...
The colors if on you're this are gorgeous, I must say.
It is, and the details, like even the smoke coming off the cannon off of like the dimple of Triptychon's chin is... it's awesome. Being a Transformers geek and a Dino geek and seeing lots of these type of things done with dinosaurs, this caught my attention really quick. So that is my pick for the week.
That's great. I love the little box here. See Big Mama Gestalt for further information.
There you go. Plus, he gave the genus Decepticon for an actual subgroup. Triptychoneus Decepticoni.
I would,
for a Latin like nomenclature. That's really cool.
I would love to see a whole ton of images in this style. This would make actually for a really cool little art book, I think.
I think if you were to do a series of them with the city bots and things like that, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I definitely would stand behind that and raise my fist. Aaron Smith, would you
this
raise
is
your
what,
fist?
Like the profile books.
Most of the way.
Okay, cool. I totally picked the exact moment Lupus started talking there, apparently. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. We're hearkening back to the earlier episodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just think this is what all those all those guidebooks and stuff that we've gotten before should have been like.
I agree.
Big, huge pictures like this.
This is where more than meets the eye needed to be.
With delicious coloring. I like this coloring a lot. Whoever did it, come forth and reveal yourself so I may give you a grateful kiss on the cheek. Because I like that. Aaron, what's your new pick?
I think this week I'm going to go with the Shanghai Showdown as a two-pack.
Good man! I was wondering if someone would bring that up.
It's a Toys R Us exclusive two-pack with the Ice Cream Twins and a white Demolisher.
Yeah.
And it looks like the twins have some different apps, paint apps. They've got like some rust on the truck. It makes it look more like the beat up ice cream truck that was in the movie, not the stark white and pink that we got first toy form. But these two packs are going like crazy now. There are a couple different ones that are sitting at my Toys R Us now, so I guess that's the thing. You take a deluxe, you take a Voyager, you smash them together, you charge just as much for them, and you make money.
Well, in this case, they had to kind of recoup the cost on Demolisher, and I think the only way to do it would be to pack in a repaint along with the one of the more popular deluxe toys they made.
Oh yeah, and Rusty Ice Cream Truck, I think definitely would attract a lot of people, and throwing in a white Demolisher, you know, they'll go like, oh, whatever, I want me some Rusty Ice Cream Truck.
Yeah.
All right, Rusty Ice Cream Truck with bonus Voyager.
Yeah.
I do.
For only $30.
I do like these deluxe versus Voyager 2-packs, though. I mean, like, they're never really a setup where you save money, but they make for a really impressive shelf. And I think that, you know, to your average kid, these things look pretty cool and perhaps, maybe, are doing something that's selling, as you said, you know, white repaints of Demolisher better than if they just packaged him on his own.
Yeah, I think something else that this may be going for is Hasbro's wanting to kind of set up pairings.
Yeah.
With the way that, like, the Deluxe Ratchet and Deluxe Lockdown on the movie line are going to be set up as enemies and things like that. So it may be something where in a box you can get your battle scene.
Hey, battle in a box!
Yeah.
Hey!
I remember those. I never owned one of those. I was one
of those. I owned two sets, and they were interesting.
They're all kind of horrible.
I love the packaging, though. It was beautiful.
It was great packaging. I just wasn't a fan of the fact that everything was, like, you know, it was in the box, broken.
Oh, yeah.
How it was set up to look. It's like, ah, you can tell it's a battle because this is busted in half. Or
well, when you make what, three of those packs and two of them have Armada Sideswipe repaints and another one has a Smokescreen repaint.
Yeah.
You're not going to be all happy with it, with what you get.
Nonetheless, I'm curious now if even more of these neat little two-pack things are going to pop up. Because even though I don't really buy them, I love seeing them because I think they look really cool. And speaking of looking really cool, my pick would be the news forum thread posted approximately 30 minutes ago by our very own Lupus Convoy. Who found a new picture of the Defender on Big Bad Toy Store with a pre-order price of around just under $80. And let me just say, guys, if you are shocked by the highness of that price, I'm sorry, but that is how it goes. I've explained many times, when you're dealing with third parties and you're dealing with a fully assembled, fully painted third party... Oh, there's someone in this thread who thought the toy was going to be sold unpainted. I'm sorry. As I was scrolling through the thread saying that, I read someone's like, man, that's a lot for an unpainted toy.
Oh, it's so cute.
I mean, I don't dislike who said that. I think that was a great thing to say. But, yeah. There's some pictures of it posed, and it has a sword and a pistol. And the sword looks like it's made from the helicopter blades kind of folded around and together. So, generally, I think it looks cool. I know there are a lot of folks who aren't digging some of the aesthetic, but I think that the way it's been sculpted and designed, it would fit in great with... The freshly ended modern universe look, which to me always had a slight movie-esque-ness to it. And if you don't want that, hey, you know, he's got lots of lions on him. He can fit in with any movie toys. So I think going with that aesthetic made him fit in better with the modern mainline Transformers, for better or for worse. I'm excited about it. I'm curious if anyone's going to have it for cheaper, I admit. But... I think it looks cool. I'll also, actually, while I'm bringing stuff up, let me just quickly throw out there. There was a news item I did not cover, and I'm still not going to cover, but I'll mention it just to explain why. The leaked Transformers 3 script is a fake. Well, big surprise!
What? No!
I only had to read a little bit of it, get to the point where Sam went, hey, Optimus, lose the flames, as Prime goes back in time to 1982 and turns into a box red truck and materializes a box trailer out of thin air behind him. I was kind of like, you know, I bet you this might not be real. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't mean to be, you know, grumpy Gus about it, but I did not see one hint of discussion in that script except to make fun of how blatantly pillar of salt that thing was. But that aside, you know, you guys got anything to add about the script?
Someone worked very hard on that fanfic.
Yeah, someone did.
Yeah.
Grats to them. They got 15 minutes of fame. But, you know, that whole scene of Prime losing the flames, it was just like, it was too obvious, man. I mean, I don't know.
I'll admit, I only got about 8 or 9 pages into it and went, yeah, no. Brain hurt.
I skimmed. I didn't actually read all of that. I looked for juicy bits, and that, when I hit that bit, I was like, this explains this whole thing right here in a page.
I think at the point where they started calling him Spike, I was like, yeah, this is... wasn't enough explosions in the beginning to be a Michael Bay film.
Well, that aside, what do you guys think about Defender? Hey, Lupus, what do you think about the dude who posted the thread about Defender?
Oh, he's a stand-up guy. He knows what he's talking about.
Good man.
I hear he's already got his pre-order in.
Oh, good man. How about you guys, Aaron, Omegas? You gonna toss a
diecast?
Oh, you're leaving it. You're gonna leave it alone. You're gonna be that guy.
No, I mean that was actually my response in that thread. Diecast.
Yeah, it was.
Oh.
I thought you were going to bring that up too, since you were reading the thread. But all right, whatever.
I know. Once I got to the part about the guy thinking it was going to be sold unpainted, I kind of left it alone.
Well, you see, that my post came in like 5 or 6 above that one. So.
Oh, okay. I kind of gravitated to that. By the way, the dude who thought it was unpainted has said touche. He did not read the description, so please don't make fun of him. You know, just saying. I'm happy someone
too
said
late.
It because that made the thread funny. But
no, my diecast boo is I can understand diecast in certain applications. This just looks like it's been diecast put in to say it's diecast. It's the
oh, wait, did you not see the pictures from last week? Was this your first exposure to the diecast?
Pretty much.
Oh yeah, we saw this last week. The diecast is in there.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying in any toy, I can understand that diecast is like the way it was in 84 and you know OG Power or whatever, but the chest and the two tail bits, it seems as if they found okay, well, where's the least intrusive place we can put this antiquated crap? Sorry, I just enjoy modern toy technology where you don't need 8 pounds of steel to make something cool.
Well, the way I see the diecast is like. I think first and foremost, it's a way for them to experiment with molding with the stuff since it shrinks when it cools.
Right.
Really, the chest, I think, is fine. It's more so those two back parts. The only thing that worries me about those is the helicopter mode where the painted sides come together. And that's always
right.
That's always been one of my diecast no-nos that Binaltech always kind of like laughed at and just kept doing anyway. Which is painted diecast pieces should always avoid bumping into each other, in my opinion. But I mean, that's not enough to turn me off of it. I'm curious to see how their diecast turns out if it holds the paint really nicely. But I'm definitely not going to get on a hate train about it only because they did use a minimal amount, and aside from the helicopter mode, they did keep it away from really horrifying positions, which Binaltech often. Threw the diecast straight into, like, oh man, I have too many examples I can think of.
I guess it's not pure hate on it. It's just one of those things where I don't know if I feel like I have to be a contrarian too, but there are people that are just overly enthusiastic about diecast, and I can understand that from the nostalgia standpoint, but not the toy technology standpoint.
I see where you're coming from, yeah. But I think your post might bring across something different. What with the 3 question marks and the.
Yeah, I know.
The 6
oh, I know.
O's and the 5 exclamation
I know. That's,
marks.
That's pure bait. I'll admit it.
You heard it here first. Yeah, I think that's about our new picks because we're going to move on. I really want to get to this one because this is the one that it was the clear, obvious thing to pick out. It's going to get its own topic. We got to see a mock-up, a cardboard packaging mock-up of a Power Core combiner, and it's of Huffer. With Caliburst, and it looks like Huffer turns into a little truck who's colored correctly, and it looks like Caliburst turns into a little mortar that plugs into the back of the truck. That and Caliburst being, you know, a Target Master name and all that. So, Power Core Combiners, is this going to be Masters? Is this going to be Minicons Plus? What do you guys think? Lupus?
Mm. Oh, you'd ask me first.
It's your turn.
Yeah.
I am not afraid to say that I love my Minicons. I love my Headmasters. I love my Power Masters. What concerns me the most is that strange little peg or hole or whatever it is that's coming out of Huffer's chest abdominal cavity. That really has me concerned. We've seen lots and lots of interviews with the engineers that have worked on Classics and Universe, and even Hasbro has said, these are amazing figures. How is it that you guys did so well with this? And their response was, you didn't want any gimmicks. So with that said, with this concept of a power core combiner, I'm really afraid that we're going to end up with, I mean, the really dark side of my mind is saying, oh God, we're going to have Armada 2.0.
I think, though, if you look at that cardboard standee of Huffer, that is kind of squelched in many respects, just given the engineering visible in that one picture. I mean, check it out. He's got ball elbows, and his shoulders move out and forward.
I mean, I'm holding my breath, and I'm really hoping that we're going to get some really good things.
I don't think you got anything really to worry about. I think what you might worry about is what price point are we looking at? Because to me, Huffer looks like a very effective scout.
Yeah.
And this is clearly not a scout price pointed packaging, unless like I'm just misseeing.
What
I'd believe here is that card back looks a lot like, and unfortunately, I don't have any. Current movie line card backs.
You can hear him going around his house.
But yeah, I'm making noise down here on the floor. Can you hear? A lot of times, what they'll do with the very early stuff is they'll just grab a card back and they'll grab a bubble. And I mean, these are just look like they're thick cardstock printouts taped to the inside of the bubble, where it's just something they'll work through. 15 versions of something real quick. I remembered seeing, I forget where it was, but somebody that had like 40 different slight tweak production versions of the original Beast Wars card back.
Mm-hmm.
And where it was just like this little thing changed, that little thing changed, and they'll do that sort of thing and hold, you know, they'll make up like 8 different things of what they want the bubble to look like, and they'll hold, okay, card back number 32 and bubble 12. Well, how's that look? Okay, bubble 13. I kind of like that one with, and so this could very well be something like that, where they're just trying to get an idea of package size and how do they want to lay things out, you know, because it looks like it's a pretty thick bubble, too. It looks like that could be a, if we're getting good perspective on it, that could be like an inch and a half or 2 inches thick of bubble on what looks like a narrow card. So
that's why I'm kind of thinking, just given the way that Huffer looks to me like a fairly effective scout, and that Caliburst looks to me like a Minicon Plus, I'm wondering if maybe these are going to be like, with Armada, they would make a deluxe and they would kind of debudget off the deluxe to create the Minicon. At least that's how it always struck me. I'm wondering if in this case we're going to instead have a very effective scout, and then you add in the deluxe budget and all the buffer goes into the little buddy. So that
I could see it as an upscaled scout.
Yeah,
with just a normal size Minicon.
And I would actually like that a lot more than going the other direction. Like I'm sure a lot of folks would just want a deluxe, but you know, if we're going to go with this road, and granted, maybe Huffer's the only one who comes with a little PAL. Maybe Power Core goes a lot more deep than what we're seeing here. If they're going to do it like this, I would actually kind of like to see us kind of overspend on the bigger guy and get a bonus of a fairly nice little guy, rather than, you know, pay for a sort of stunted big guy who happens to come with a little dude. That's the way I'd look at it anyway. How about that head?
I will say, though, we already got a Classics Huffer. Why do we need another?
Classics Huffer was a BotCon toy.
Yeah.
But he was so perfect.
Some of us couldn't get that one.
And some people, I think, did take umbrage with BotCon Huffer's missile nipples, although I thought they were awesome. But I don't know.
It worked for Madonna.
I'm curious if this is a glimpse into Universe 3 or if this is a glimpse into the new show. Could go either way, I think. But long ago, I was asking you guys one by one, so I'll just continue doing that. Hey, Aaron, what specific thoughts have you got on the Power Core Combiner?
I don't know. My bets are... See, I don't know if each one of them is going to be a master of some sort. However, I look at the Power Core logo and it has that square and circle to it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's not going to be like maybe all of them or some of them come packaged with their little buddy, and that's a universal port thing where one guy may have an artillery cannon, another guy has a missile pod, another guy is just like a big souped-up engine that sits on it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like an Ultimate Master type thing where anybody can plug in. But
as I'm staring at it, I just got to throw out another theory here. You see how when he's connected to the vehicle mode, he has those kind of like arching kind of wing-like things, and those are clearly inside his shoulder joints there when he's in Calibur's robot mode. And it looks like there's a hinge to fold them out. I'm thinking that with Huffer, these little dudes turn into chest plates or something like that.
Could be.
So it could be like he's a target master for the vehicle mode, he's a power master or a breast master for the robot mode.
About my only other thought is that could be something in the old classic, like anti-aircraft guns, where that was the piece for vertical aiming, and that could be just what that is, where they have a hinge piece in there, and that's an aesthetic thing, not a construction thing.
If they're going to use it to just, if they're going to use it for, you know, like more than one thing, it's like, you know, for that mode in the vehicle mode picture, that could be one thing, and then like, hey, by the way, you fold both of these outwards, they make for pretty cool chest crest, you know. I don't know. This is all speculation, by the way. So I look forward to someone in the future picking up our podcast like a year after these came out, go like, listen to that idiot evangelist talking about breastplates. And everyone knows that these little dudes were what brought about the second Black Plague because of all the lead toxic paint from Vietnam that they put into them. No one ever got to play with them. We were all dead. It's like, and this dude is just a brain in a jar with a robot body, because that's what the human race has turned into by that point. I'm on a tangent, aren't I? Hey, Omegas.
Yeah,
what do you
just
think
a bit.
About the Power Core Combiner?
It's definitely an interesting concept. I was kind of in the same boat with Aaron. You know, like if they made a hot rod and his wing and his like tail fin came off, and then you could like stick it on Huffer, and then Huffer has wings. You know, like that might be like a cool little switch gimmick, but. The first thing people are going to go, and I'm sure, I haven't checked the threads, but I'm sure this has already been everywhere, is that everyone is going to go, well, this is where we're finally going to get Headmasters back, because this is just a general little catch-all gimmick where pretty much anything that ever involved a little guy is now possible again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious at what... I mean, where would these fit in? Like we were just speculating on War for Cybertron, and the discussion last week that, you compared like those prototype shots we got to this new Prime, and they're the match, and he's getting a toy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there wasn't any Power Core Combiner there that we could see, so...
The theory to try to come up with would be which line does Power Core Combining fit in with? The main line or the universe line or something all of its own?
Well, it might just revert to just the universe line being the only line, because this is going to come out about the same, hopefully the same time where Animated is starting to get the last of its toys out too.
Mm.
So we might have congruent toy lines even with this one already. But, you know, there's obviously, it's a prototype card, you know, this might be the final design, maybe not, but it is a completely new backing, the backgrounds all kind of match up, so if they use this one, there's no movie tag, there's no War for Cybertron tag, it's a normal Autobot symbol, so maybe it is Universe 3, and Power Core is just like, you know, it could just be like for the scout class. You know, just their like that's just like their expansive gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas things like Prime might have the War for Cybertron stamped on the front instead.
War for Cybertron Core Combiner.
Sure, why not?
I would actually support the Headmaster theory only because I remember at that BotCon when we first saw Hound with Ravage and Cyclonus with the Target Master, they were all like, yeah, we'd like to do a Headmaster.
The argument was always that, well, if you lose the head, then you don't have your toy anymore.
Solution out there. It's been made. Energon Omega Supreme. You just have a little nub. You make it so you can pull the nub up and have a pair of eyes on it and go like, now he's in drone mode.
Yeah, I thought we mentioned this last week. I thought the perfect opportunity would be like, okay, if you like, they did Hardhead for Universe, but if you could like collapse his head in and just like sock it on a Headmaster that the repaint would come with.
Yeah.
Then even if you lost it, it's a repaint, so you just pop the old head up.
Or like, imagine if it was a power core port. So you take Caliburst here and you plug him onto the head post instead. Now he doesn't have a proper robot head, but hey, guess what? He has a gun for a head, and that's pretty awesome, too. You know, they've done it in other mecha shows.
Okay, so he's basically a walking, you know, Dalek at that point.
Yeah, I would dig it. And I mean, like, the movie has given us the whole idea of drones having, you know, the mono eye. So, just have, like, a little mono eye thing flip up out of that port as, like, an optic in case you have nothing else to put on there. I don't know, a lot of options. Again, I really like how we're able to speculate like this and not feel totally like we're overstretching it because of all this half info we have.
Oh, yeah.
It's enjoyable. Yeah. I missed the sensation.
Yeah. I will bring up the red car prototype we saw, too, that had absolutely no sign of anything like this anywhere on it.
Mm-hmm. But then again, the question. Was that red car? Was it a power core? Was it War for Cybertron? Was it something else?
Well, it wasn't exactly War for Cybertron aesthetic. It was definitely an Earth car, but at the same time, it didn't have any ports for a little buddy like this.
Yeah, we officially have tantalizing levels of speculation at hand. And I'm glad. You know what else makes me glad? Intermissions. Does that make no one else glad?
Woohoo! Can't wait to hear what foreign toy commercial it is this time.
Well, you're going
to
hear it right now!
Level 5 Gundam, 17 hours.
Level 4, greetings.
5 levels.
Level 3, 2 hours a night.
Up to 140 parts.
Level 1, Gundam, 1 hour.
Near endless articulation.
Level 5, 10 hours.
Gundam, what's your level of commitment?
So now we're back. So now we're ready to talk about what we got this week. Now who am I going to pick? I'm going to go first. You know why? Because my week sucked. All right. I'll lay this out for you. We started late. You know why? Yesterday... an EMS shipped box was fail delivered, and according to my tracking, a card was left. There was no card. So I went straight to the post office after work, risking the timeliness of the podcast recording, arrived in time to discover that apparently the entire post office was 24 hours lagged behind the entire world due to the sheer number of packages they had lying around, and that I should come by tomorrow morning. So I came home, and I came home to find the card that apparently was meant to be left yesterday, and the guy came back today to put it in the mailbox. So, basically, what we got this week, I don't care what we got this week. In fact, you know what? Screw this Christmas spirit. I hear Carol is outside. I'm gonna friggin'. Aaron, you're in charge! What we got this week,
right.
You do it.
Alrighty.
I'm gonna go make me some dinner. Screw it!
Alright.
What
you got? I'll take the big seat. I don't even want to go first now.
Jeez, what a Scrooge. Scared.
Lupus, why don't you go?
Yes, sir. Okay, well...
I like that, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, as we covered 2 weeks ago, the New Hampshire Yankee swap we had going on, I brought a wonderful Skylynx down, and I ended up walking away with a nice 12-pack of Minicons from Kmart from last year, thanks to Optimus Scourge. So little dragon, little green motorcycle, some of the really good, molds that came out from the classic set, like, Suppressor and, Brimstone, the dragon, the Skyhammer, the Warhog, a lot of figures that I actually really liked, really solid. I was happy. And then my loving other half surprised me with a early Solstice gift, and I ended up getting a 4 gig memory card for my camera, and Return of the Fallen, or oh god, I did it again.
Return of the Fallen. The third movie's name is known.
Does it have Jedi in it?
Yes, it does. Lots of people going. I got Ravage, which is still in the box, looking all nice and black.
Nice. But
I got happy Christmas, happy Yule. I got it. It's cute. It's got spikes and looks like it's gonna kill people. It's cute. So that's what I got this week.
Awesome, Omega. You ready to go?
Me up now?
Had something you were setting up.
Yeah, I had something I was setting up, and this did involve Vangelis a little bit, but if he doesn't want it, I guess I won't mention it.
He's off
making
food.
If he doesn't want it, I'll have it.
Damn Scrooge. I'll mention it when he gets back. I've been begging.
I'll go with mine, then. First, I'll talk about the Leo convoy that I got 2 or 3 weeks ago and had it sealed in a box. Looks good. I think this is probably the best colors of this mold so far. You other guys had it too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anybody combined it with their Cybertron Optimus Prime?
Indeed.
No. Because I have him and then the original one that came out combined together along with Sonic Bomber sitting on top of it, and oh my god, it's huge. And colorful. And then I took it all back apart so I could have it down here. But I'm just still amazed that this toy is kicking around with Cybertron Optimus Prime being how many years out now?
They just re-released it as one of their little Sam's Club packs.
Did they?
That's true.
Yeah, along with, just for some random reason, Crumble Zone as well.
Okay. I guess I don't keep track of these Sam's Club exclusives, then. I apologize.
Well, what kind of podcaster are you, then?
I don't know. My Sam's Club company membership ran out, and they decided they didn't want to renew it, and I'm not going to pay the whatever 10% premium to go in there and buy 87,000 rolls of toilet paper at once.
But how else are you going to, like, paint the town white?
With paint?
Oh, I guess that's true.
All right, what'd y'all get? Out carrot sucks!
All right, then. Next on my Transformers list, I ended up finding an electrostatic sound wave.
Sucks!
Damn you! Ratbat rocks. And I'm with Gog. The color scheme on him does come together. Although, I haven't had the feet issue that he was talking about in trying to get it. He's a little bit tougher to connect on than Laserbeak was, but not to the point where I feel like I'm stressing something to the point of breaking.
I bet his is broken!
I bet it is. But not a whole lot more to say. I mean, it's the same toy, basically. And then my other two toys for keeping were the Sentai candy toys. I got the Daigoyo and Sankamaru, which is the Gold Ranger's sword deal. I got them like the day after, I think, did the podcast previously, and came in three parts. One was the body, the paper lantern, and it has this like enormo 3-inch by 3-inch shiny foil sticker that has to wrap halfway around the body, and if you don't line it up carefully, you have to take it off and put it back on, which, let me tell you what, pain in the butt. But it's nice and like shiny red. And it even came with little fake feet for the stand on the bottom of him, because the way that he transforms, his legs come off the bottom and flips around and becomes legs. And the second piece was the legs and the arms. And then the third piece was the sword. And I've had to take the sword thing away from my wife once or twice because she'll pretend to cut me or cut the dogs with the little plastic rubbery sword blade. The one fun thing about this guy is he has the same disc launch feature that, like, the DX version had, except for this one actually shoots the discs rather far.
Oh, nice. Does it get stuck easily, or?
No. No, this is... I don't see how it could really get stuck short of something being broken. The disc is smooth all the way around, except for where the sprue connects up to it. And then, the action is very smooth. That's... And then the other thing I picked up for keepings was the Mogi Dayo, or the Ushi Origami, which is supposed to be the final piece that you're to get, but my pre-orders are in hell somewhere.
I know all about hell!
This guy is huge. He's if anybody's ever done candy toy stuff, normally it's two or three sprues or trays or whatever in the box. This was four full-sized trays in two boxes to make this guy. And he stands as tall as a Voyager Armada animated Starscream, who's the guy I have here on my desk. Big, beefy, blocky. Yeah, he's not small by any stretch of the imagination. It probably took me 3.5 to 4 hours to take him all off of the plastic sprues, put everything together, and assemble them. And, I mean, I was playing with them along the way, too, so your times may vary. But big, beefy guy. He's got a very much like a Brave type of feel with the huge legs, the huge forearms, the huge body, and little tiny head sitting on top. But I know I'm becoming more of a Sentai toy geek, but darn it, that's what's coming out right now that I can get a hold of easily enough. So I'm still waiting on you, Kakalolo 12 or whatever on eBay.
Send my other toys. I'm still waiting on you, Canada Post!
Send my other toys so I can talk about them on a Transformers podcast. And then, not to try and one-up Seth, but I also did quite a bit of a Toys for Tots and similar thing. I moved three of the oil slick animated peg warmers at my Toys R Us into the Toys R Tots bin, along with at Walmart. I picked up, they had a couple of the $11 Ultras. It was, I think, a Silverbolt and an Onslaught. Although I feel bad about the Onslaught because it was the bad sound chip one that only did like one whoop whoop for the siren.
You've ruined a kid's Christmas.
Yeah, I know. I will admit, though, I went through like the 12 Onslaughts they had there, and all of them had the bad sound chip. So it wasn't like I just grabbed one and then realized later. And then also they had some of like the $8 basic 2-packs, and I picked up a couple of those to go not to Toys for Tots, but to the Salvation Army, which does a similar thing around here. So if this thing gets out before Christmas or in time, donate toys or even your time. I know that Salvation Army locally was looking for just volunteers to help put these packages together for families. You know what? If you can't afford to buy stuff, maybe you can afford to spend a couple hours helping them out there. So,
yeah. Aaron, you've warmed my heart and calmed down my anger with that wonderful message of giving and charity.
I'm glad that something could bring you back to your senses.
It's grown three times too large when it was once two times too small.
Very Susian.
Not talking about my heart. Oh, it's what she said. Bet none of you was expecting that. I'm still mad.
Evangelist, just one day.
Just one day.
One day.
One day! So the other one
left then is Omega. Why don't you do that and see if we can get Vangelis over his phone.
I'm back in the seat. I'm Papa Bear again. I can do this.
I don't know. I kind of like
sure?
it.
Go! It better
green
not
and fuzzy
suck.
Played by Jim Carrey? No, it won't suck. Unfortunately, I've had very little luck with Transformers around here. I have not seen Soundwave. I have not seen anything new in the last 2 weeks, so it is mostly a tokusatsu day for me. Though I will start off saying that for everyone ever recommending it, I did get Smash Brothers Brawl.
Finally.
Well, keep in mind, I only got a Wii a month ago.
So that was 28 days too long.
That's what she said, ha!
You're just full of it.
That's what she said, ha!
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
That's what she said?
Yeah. What, you didn't go for the trifecta? But yeah, I'm opening up a floodgate here because I'm not giving out any friend codes until I no longer suck at the game.
It won't work.
Yeah.
I already have your friend code.
No, you don't.
Yeah, trust me. I got sources.
No, because no matter how hard you practice that game, there's going to be somebody that picks Pikachu or something and saying, like, oh yeah, I got this. And you don't. You don't got that.
I've been playing Modern Warfare, too. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Okay, what else is here? Let's see. I got my Sochaku Henshin Kiva figure at last after putting it off way too long.
That's what she said! Okay, never mind. Continue.
Yeah. It's done.
Rule of four.
Yeah. Get a new joke. I love the figure. I love the options. I love the proto figure art that he is. I wish his back didn't weigh a ton, however. Is that the problem? Vangelis, you have this. You have a problem.
Every single one of those pauses, I hope you realize I am resisting screaming something that I've said four times now.
One day?
I only said that one twice. I got two more of those. I'm saving them up. No, he is heavy. He is heavy. But, you know, that was the draw. Then that's where they made the choice. Do we continue with the add-on die-cast armor, or do we throw the armor aside and say, let's go figure alone? And I think they went, let's go figure alone.
I think they went the right way, because the only thing that really hurts the toy is the fact that he's harder to balance with all the metal.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, is
die-cast.
Yes.
Oh, here comes Aaron. I'll see. Now Aaron's trying to be all surly, too. Here he comes.
No, I'm just saying. There's a place for it, and there's...
You can be surly, dude. It's surly time.
I'm not surly!
One day!
That's three. See, also, from Chosen on the board, I finally got my Sochaku Henshin gills as well. So he doesn't have a screaming mouth, which upset me.
Oh, yeah, that's classic Sochaku Henshin, with tiny beanie-sized heads and crazy hands that never quite look like they're doing something.
Right, it's just, I don't know, there's something about it's not gills unless he's screaming his head off.
Yeah, man, I don't know. They left him in the dust in Fig Arts. It's sad.
Yeah, come on, there's only like, what, three more designs in Agito you need to make?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. You can do better than that. I also have... I am contractually obligated to give a shout-out to Keith over at Henshin Justice Unlimited for giving me a major hookup.
Who's that guy?
I don't know. Just someone who was bugging me one day.
Man.
But I do have to thank him because he did hook me up with the brand new Metalder figure.
Hey, guess what's at my post office right now?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Your haul officially sucks!
Well,
you want me to tell you how cool the toy is?
It sucks. It's not cool till I got it, so for now, you know, it's like, pff, you know, who needs it? Not me! What do I got here? I got my Zen body lotion here, that's all I need. Put some of this on right now.
I don't know how they managed it, and I might be wrong on this because I'm not disassembling the thing just to find out if I'm right or not, and not that I know if I could disassemble it. I don't see a screw on this thing. I think the entire thing is cast in black and totally painted, though.
Could be.
Everything, the silver, the blue, and the red, they all look painted, and there's like barely any black showing through it. No, I wish I could tell. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
And you know, not even sure how they put him together, but he's cool. He's awesome. He is near figure arts in complexity.
And around about the same size, I believe.
Yeah, he is in scale, though he is a bit thicker, so he doesn't have the somewhat anorexic look. I'll tell you what, the shoulder joint, you're going to like.
Oh, I could tell from the pictures. That looked beautiful.
Yeah, because it's kind of like the hip joint on a Kabuto figure.
Mm-hmm.
To where it has a little stem that pulls out to increase the range of motion.
And I'm very interested to get my hands on that tomorrow.
Okay, and this is the last thing I got because after a month, my HLJ box finally arrived.
Ah, that's lovely. Guess what's waiting at my post office?
This is the first time I've announced what exactly I got in that set, in that box. It was the Motion Revive Special Best Selection series.
Man, who calls something special best?
Special best? Well, what else would you call it? Like, what, every main figure they did?
I'd call it special good.
Special good.
There are no absolutes.
So it's not the best?
There are no absolutes like best when discussing things on an artistic level. And I think that calling it special best was an egotistic move on the part of Bandai. And at this moment right here and now, I do not support it. In fact, I think it sucks.
So does that mean you do not want my spare Kuga, who I know is the last one you do not have?
It does mean I want your spare Kuga just so I can prove my point.
Just so you can prove your point?
Just so I can prove my point.
All right, well, I got it right here. Kuga, thumbs up and all, normal mighty form.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, just send it along over this way, and you know, you'll help me prove my point. We'll take a stand against Bandai together. You know, we will be brothers in arms. We're going to be showing them, hey, guess what, man? Toys are serious business. Ain't no room for egotism when you're making your toys. Call it special best.
We will see about that then. I'm serious here.
Yeah, me too. You know, we're gonna link our powers up. We're gonna say, hey, you know, we're taking a stand.
What are twins' powers?
We're making toys about the people again.
I will give you 1 point, and that is my other spare was a Momotaros, and unfortunately he came out with scoliosis because of a misassembly.
Oh, it sounds like my Ixa. Oh.
Yeah, it's one of those misassemblies I can't fix either because it's in that one thing that is not held together with a screw or a ball joint.
Yeah, my Ixa had a ball joint that was two sizes too small, and no matter how hard I rubbed, it would not get bigger.
That's what she said.
You see, the rule of five does not exist, all right?
See, I'm aware of this.
There's no rule
I'm
of five.
I'm aware of this, why? I wanted to kill it. I never want to hear that word again.
Why would we throw the rule of five around, you know? I mean, like, is there not enough taboo in this world?
Apparently not. Not when you can call a set the special best.
Who the hell calls something special best? It's like buying comics on Thursday.
There's no Ixa in it. So this can't be the best.
Man, you guys all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's right. I think I've got the Surly out for now. Oh, it feels good. Well, that's very interesting stuff you've all gotten. Very interesting.
Even though you weren't listening.
Yeah, you know, I had things to do. But very cool stuff, especially that one thing that you got, Lupus, with the box.
Yeah.
I liked that one. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. So you're gonna go out and buy it now?
Yeah, I already did. All right. I got the process moving underway. You know what other process I got moving underway?
Listener question.
Listener question. Good answer, Lupus Convoy.
I'm awake. What?
So our listener question comes from a Mr. Fang 2, not Mr. Fang 1. We don't talk about Mr. Fang 1. That guy sucked. Mr. Fang 1. Was soundly thrashed by Mr. Fang 2 in order to make Mr. Fang 2 the Mr. Fang 2 that he is. And Mr. Fang 2 asks us some questions, and they are right here and now to be played over your ears like this.
Mr. Fang 2 here. This is a listener question for the WTF at TFW Transformer podcast. I have 4 questions. This first one is aimed more towards Omegas and Vangelis. And the first one is, have you ever thought about having a contest on YouTube, either of you, for whoever makes, like, a good parody of your videos. You vote for the best one. The best one for a parody for The Plastic Addict, and the best one for a parody for Vandalist Review, each get to go onto the podcast. Would you support that idea or not? I don't know if you're gonna do that or not, but I am going to put up a Plastic Addict parody with Ultimate Bumblebee. Alright, question 2. Have you ever puked on someone at a convention? Question 3. Which characters would you like to get seen in a Human Alliance style for Classics Universe? Question 4. If you can get any Transformer made as a Lego product, which robot would you choose? And would they be Cybertronian form, Earth form, or if you're going movie aesthetic, Protoform? This is Mr. Fang 2 signing out. And also, Omegas, you live in Florida, right? If you see a Human Alliance Bumblebee head laying on the ground somewhere in the Delray Beach, Boynton Beach area, leave it there, and the minute you get home, post a comment on my channel, because my Human Alliance Bumblebee is missing a head and a Sam figure. I have a general idea where the Sam figure is, but I have no clue where in these two cities the head could be. Okay, Mr. Fang 2 signing off. And I hope this gets answered.
So to get the first one out of the way really fast, let me explain a few things about how this podcast is put together. I am probably never going to do any kind of you win a spot on the podcast thing for a very long time, because it's already hard enough to get 3 other people to regularly show up on a night twice a month. And to disrupt that system to work in a special guest who has won a spot would probably only serve to make my life hard. And I probably am not going to do it for a very long time. So I have not considered having a contest. The reason why I typically do not go around inviting various other people onto the podcast and things is because I just don't have the mind and the discipline to pull off that level of multi-directional organization. So
you guys don't even know the loops he makes us jump through to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've made these guys miss weddings, miss childbirths. It's all because I got dirt on them in this here envelope. Yeah, that's how I do it. But yeah, I only got dirt on so many people. So please don't send me your dirt, by the way, because I think that's kind of – that moves into a realm of kinky where I need to know you better. And I'm leaving that alone for now.
Right.
That said –
That's why Super Underscore Megs couldn't be here anymore.
That's right. He outdid the dirt I had on him, and it was just like, well, you know, I can't put up with this anymore. To move on to a question that we all can really well and truly answer, have you ever puked on someone at a convention, Aaron Smith?
On someone? No.
That's what the question asks. So, did you ever feel tempted?
Tempted to puke on someone? No.
Like, did you think it would be a laugh? Or...
There have been too many. No.
Not even just to go like, hey, buddy, come over here. Ugh! You know, just like.
No, unfortunately, I do not have the gift of spontaneous vomitus.
But if you did, would you do it and who to?
No, because that's something that.
You'd be all like, hey, here, have a drink. Or, hey, here, no. I got something to tell you. Let me whisper it in your ear.
No.
And you'd be like, that's secret. I could puke on command, baby.
No.
Okay. Hey, Lupus Convoy, have you ever puked on someone at a convention?
I have not puked on anyone in a convention. No. I have been tempted to want to do things to some people at conventions similar to that. However,
similar is not alike.
It's simile.
That's true. And simile is akin to metaphor, but it is not metaphor.
Yes. But if I'm at a convention, I'm there to represent myself and the website that I'm there representing. And to do something like that would be a major faux pas.
Yeah.
Even if the people to truly deserve it and they happen to be like, you know, screaming fangirls with no brains that are drooling over Edward. And,
You're talking about anyway, a different convention at this point. I think you're specifically talking about San Diego Comic-Con 2009 at this point.
Ugh. Anyway,
I like the idea of puking directly onto someone on purpose, just being called a faux pas and nothing else. That's great. You've committed a minor faux pas, sir, in forcing your hand down your throat until liquid erupted from your inner tubes all over the face of he who you do not admire.
I'm sorry, I've been reading Gail Carriger's Solus, which is a Victorian era steampunk novel.
Now, Victorian era steampunk, do you think people would puke on each other there?
Oh, and well, maybe the vampires, but I'm not quite sure.
Ah, okay.
Again, it would be a giant faux pas.
It would be quite a large faux pas.
Yeah.
That's something one does not do in polite society.
Because then if it's vampires and it's blood, and then that, you just can't get that out of anything.
See, this goes into another question. Have you ever bloody puked on someone? But I'll leave that one alone for now. Omegas Prime, have you ever puked on someone at a convention?
Not for less than $50, no.
Have you ever puked on someone at a convention for $50 or more?
That is between me and my client. I have never puked on anybody at any convention at any time. There's been a few people ripping me off in a dealer room where I would have liked to do something on them, but it didn't involve puking.
That's just kinky.
You really don't
put the explicit tag on this podcast.
There's nothing explicit about puking.
No, I was going to say spit. I was going to spit on them.
That's not puking. That's more of this namby pamby mush mouth simile stuff. We're talking puking, hardcore puking.
I've never puked, despite going to a convention on a diet of Pop-Tarts and canned ravioli for the weekend. No, I have avoided it.
That would make for some cool puke, all I'm saying, you know.
Colorful. The sprinkles on the Pop-Tarts, really.
Yeah, yeah, so an orange and sprinkly.
The Technicolor belch, as it's been called.
See, I always heard a Technicolor yawn.
I couldn't remember the word, and I thought belch would make for a better thing, but actually yawn is better because it makes it sound more pleasant.
Yeah.
You just go, no! Like, that's all that happens when you puke, you know. Minor contraction of the throat. No, puking is a horrible experience.
I don't know. I mean, I will say that I have puked on someone, and it has been a evil math teacher in high school.
This is going places I wasn't expecting.
I was feeling quite ill that day, and he tried to stop me on my way to the bathroom when I was running, telling me that I shouldn't run in the halls. So I showed him the error of his logic.
Well, to all the grade schoolers listening, there you go. You heard it from your idol, Lupus Convoy. If your teacher gets on your nerves, just puke on him.
No. Not puke. Technicolor yawn.
Yes.
Hey, Mr. Gadigan, I gotta go to the washroom. No, you don't. Yeah, I do. Ah! And then he'd be all like, you know, oh, I see the error of our ways. Let's become friends now, student, and I'll give you straight A's all throughout the year.
It doesn't work like that, kids. Sorry.
No.
It totally does. He's just joshing. He doesn't want you living out the successes he had.
Now, if you went to, like, a horror movie convention as Linda Blair, then you might make a friend by puking on them.
Dude, you can make tons of friends.
You eat a lot of pea soup first.
You can make tons of friends by puking on them. Ask me. I do it all the time on the bus. Tons of people nod when I tell them we should hang out again afterwards. I've never seen any of them again, but still, tons of them nod. And a nod means something. As for myself, I have never puked on someone on purpose or by accident. My puke is actually very good at staying inside the receptacles that it is preferred to be put into by the general public. I have very socially acceptable puke. So, how did we talk about this question for so long?
I don't know.
Because you didn't let
it
go.
That's what happens when you, That's what happens when you talk about bodily functions. I mean, it worked for Farscape for how many seasons?
Oh, burn! Okay, let's jam session through the rest of these. Which characters you'd like to see made in the Human Alliance style and universe? Aaron Smith!
Optimus Prime.
Good answer.
Go big, go home.
Damn straight. Lupus Convoy!
Megatron with Welker.
Good answer. Mega Tank or Mega Car? Or Mega Plane?
Ooh,
or Mega Tank Car Plane.
Mega Tank.
Mega Tank.
Green Mega Tank.
I can dig that answer. Good answer. Omega's Prime!
Put some G2 in there.
G1 Ratchet. With the chip figure, with a handicapable ramp in the back.
That's very thoughtful.
Nice.
Hmm. As for myself, I would like Human Alliance Weird Wolf, who can eat a human buddy, and then when he eats his human buddy, a head grows out of the stump of his neck, because that's what he... I really have... There's so many...
Dude.
There are so many characters who could be Human Alliance. I can't really think of one that I would really want to see as a Human Alliance more than another.
Any headmaster?
Any headmaster, any... Really, a lot of these would be more so, I'd love to see this toy done on a big budget. Oh, by the way, yeah, sure, Human Alliance. That's
right.
The way
well,
I'm
just
thinking about it.
As I've tried to explain it to some people, Human Alliance is just like Alternators 2.0.
Yeah, it's Alternators slash playsets, basically, because you get a toy, which is a playset for the little human dude. So I guess, like, if I was going to say Human Alliance, it would either be, what robot do I want, lol, human, or what human do I really want? And I don't really care about the robot. And if we're going to talk about that, I would love a Dr. Arkaville, and that would be fun. I would love a little Human Alliance Dr. Arkaville, but outside of that, I can't really think of anyone else that calls to me like a banshee in the wind. I don't know. I don't know. Human Alliance Blot, because I want to see how they do it. Okay, last question. If you could have a Transformer made as a Lego design, who would it be and what form would they be in? Lupus Convoy.
We've already seen Lego Transformers and they don't go well. So I'm going to have to stand back and say none of the above.
Flashbacks.
Ooh, burn! Double burn! Flashback? First Farscape! And now this very question itself. The very concept of Lego Transformers itself. Omega's Prime, your answer.
Yeah, go see one of my Plastic Addict episodes for my opinion on trying to make a Transformer into a Lego set.
This question has been ruined by Built to Rule.
Yes, that's 3 for 3, fail by Built to Rule.
You guys realize there's like, it doesn't have to be a Built to Rule style. This kind of thing, right? Like
it's ruined it for us, though.
Yeah, it's...
Transformers and Lego, Built to Rule, nothing else.
Oh, okay. Okay, the $80 Prime set out of Japan.
I actually bought that for $30. I still haven't opened it.
Oh, God. You could have had an opinion on this conversation.
I know. I've had the thing since 2008. Since, like, March 2008. I still never opened it because I don't know what
to
do with it.
Good God, man.
I will say, it's more... Not making a Transformer into Legos, or building a Lego, taking a concept of a Transformer and then building a Lego set around it. It's more fun if you're a kid to have millions of Lego bricks and then try to make your own Transformer using the Legos.
Yeah, I think that's generally what that's actually what I tried to do back when I used to play with Legos, and every time it failed horribly. But that aside, Lego has gone to the robots. Stuff outside of Built to Rule before, and I was always curious what they could do if they really just went all out, you know, to the degrees they go all out for Star Wars on some kind of mecha thing.
All right. Yeah, you could do like
Built to Rule wasn't Lego.
Yeah, actually, that was Hasbro knocking off.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, Mega Bloks.
Yeah, Hasbro knocking off or whatever.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I get all my
It was a Lego compatible kit, but not.
Yes.
It was a Lego compatible kit.
Lego compatible.
Yes. There are brickheads out
Lego
there that
Light?
Get upset. So,
All right. I'm not trying to say Mega Bloks or Lego, and I apologize to Lego fans across the globe who are tuning in and ripping their hair out at this room. Actually, when I was little, I always used to get I remember when those the non-Legos started showing up, and also things like Kinex, and I made the choice, and I actually went with Kinex. Look where that got me.
Oh, jeez. Oh, well, you did better than me. I went with Constructs.
I would like to actually see a Sharktacon made out of Lego entirely because you could build a few hundred of them and you could just, like, stomp on them and get all, like, look at me, I'm playing Grimlock, woot. I don't know. with the Lego Transformer, there's no character I'd want to see in particular. I'd more so love to see someone do the engineering or the imaginative engineering needed to pull that off. And every time I see something like that, like the Lego Gaugaigar or one of the more intricate, like, Lego Optimus Primes, I think that's awesome. But not so much for the character, more so for just the fact that, hey, look, they made this thing out of Lego. So I'd like to see that. Final thing, Omegas Prime, did you find a head buried at a beach?
No, not a bumblebee head.
Okay, well, I don't care about other heads.
Oh, come on.
No.
Really?
No other heads. I'm talking about the bumblebee head.
That was like... I didn't find a bumblebee head.
Well, then you didn't find the head buried at the beach that is in question.
Apparently not. I don't do beach.
Yeah, so I know that you were preparing all those other heads to do this whole supplemental, but hey, you know, we don't have time for that, so you gotta put all the heads back.
But I found Lance Hendrickson's head.
Gotta take them all back.
He was buried in the sand up to his neck. Apparently pirates got him. I don't know why.
Look, man, I gotta set a good example. I gotta teach discipline. You gotta put the heads back, all right? Every one of them.
What about the redhead? I like the redhead.
All the heads!
No ginger for you.
And on that note,
I got a shovel now.
I hope that we have answered your question, Mr. Fang, too. And that is our show. So tune in again, especially around Christmas time, because I'm curious when we're going to record that week. Because I only just realized last week that one of our recording times falls directly on the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day duo. And we're going to figure that out after we stop recording. But that aside, have a happy pre-Yuletide frantic gift buying, everybody. Bye.
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 Goodbye.
The package and three others arrived after this recording, and Mr. Fang, too, found his bumblebee head.